This is the Pacifica National Board. It's a special meeting on Thursday, September 8th, 2022. It is 8:48 p.m. in the evening, Eastern Time. We're getting a little bit of a late start, but calling this meeting to order. Marianne, would you please call the roll?
I will do so. Teresa Allen.
Present.
Good. Jim Dingaman.
Here.
Good. Vanessa Dixon-Briggs.
Here.
Good. Sue Goodwin.
Here.
Good. Heather Gray.
Here.
Good. Donna Grimes. Donna Grimes. Okay. If anyone knows where she's at.
I see her. But I see a picture of her.
Yeah, just keep going. That
okay.
She probably stepped away.
Evelia Jones. Evelia?
I don't see her yet, Marianne.
Okay. Ali Laxa.
Here.
Good. Marianne Martinez.
Present.
Good. James McFadden.
Here.
Good. Darlene Pagano.
Here.
Good. Lawrence Reyes.
Presente.
Bueno. Sean Rhodes.
Here.
Good. James Sagerton.
Here.
Good. Sharon Salam.
Here.
Good. Aki Tanaka.
Here.
Good. Mark van Landuyt.
Present.
Good. Beth van Gunten.
Here.
Good. Egberto Willis. Egberto? Does anyone know if he's on and muted?
I think he may be absent. I think he's got a conflict.
Okay. Susan Young.
Here.
Good. Julie Hewitt.
I am here.
Good. So, we're not hearing from Evelia Jones or, okay, you say Egberto,
I think he'll be absent.
Gotcha. Okay. Stephanie Wells.
Here.
Good. And we're not expecting Julia or Markeisha or
no.
Polina or Arthur.
I don't know about Polina or Arthur.
John Tatum.
I'm here.
Good.
Yay!
So.
Point of information.
Hang on. Do you want to see if Donna Grimes is here?
Somebody told me that she was. Why did I think I have her marked as present?
I was going to give her a chance to respond. Okay.
Oh. Not here.
Okay, sorry. Who was the point of information?
McFadden. I thought this was a closed meeting and I was wondering why we're on the stream. Was there a special agenda sent for the open portion of this meeting?
There was. And
I just
Mark
didn't see it. It must have been in a different email than I looked.
Yeah. Mark is going to forward it to you, and hopefully it will get to you faster that way.
James, go ahead and check your email and see if you received that.
Okay, so.
Chair, there's a calling user number one that needs to be identified.
Oh.
It's Fred. It's Fred.
Okay.
You still need to be streamed?
No, Fred, we got a hold of Otis. So thank you very much for, trying to join us. Appreciate it.
Hi, Otis.
Thank you, Fred. My apology.
Yep. My apologies too, Fred.
Thank you, Fred, for being available.
Okay. I'll hang up then. Bye.
All right. Great. Where we are on the agenda is, we're still in the preliminaries and so it's, time to read the report out from the closed session of September 1st, 2022. It is the PMB met in closed session to discuss cost savings via staff reductions to respond to the dire financial situation, to consider a union contract and other legal matters. That's the report out from the September 1st closed session. Next item is excused absences.
Motion to excuse absences.
Second.
Thank you, Mark. and Susan.
Chair, I have a request for information.
Sure.
I know it's pretty standard and it's generous that we just go ahead and excuse all the absences, but I have a particular concern about one of the affiliate directors I haven't heard from and I haven't seen at a PNB meeting for quite some time. Can the chair communicate with that director and find out as to how he's doing? And because to just rubber stamp absences, I understand the generosity and the need to move forward, but I also have a concern that possibly there might be an additional challenge that may not allow him to communicate or to continue his service. So, yeah.
Yeah, I say with a tiny bit of trepidation given how busy I've been lately. But I'm happy to try to reach out to Bert Cohen and check on him. I will just pause for a moment. I don't know, Heather, do you have anything that you would add? Or I mean, I know that he you know was having issues with they changed his regime and you know, then he was reacting not great to it and that was the cause for him not being available. But you're right, it has been some time since he's been able to join us. Heather, did you have anything you
wanted to add? No, I must apologize because when Lauren started talking about this, I haven't talked with him lately either, but I intend on doing that as well.
Okay.
I'll be doing that also. Yeah, exactly.
Great. Heather, if you do get a hold of him, if you could communicate that with me, you know.
Absolutely.
That would be great. I appreciate
Absolutely.
That. So,
no problem.
Okay. But we do have a motion to excuse the absences. Thank you, Lawrence, for raising the question. More than happy to reach out. In the meantime, Marion, could you read the names of the people who we would be excusing this evening?
And Chair, I chose to abstain on this vote.
Okay. Thank you.
Bert Cohen, Evelia Jones, and Egberto Willis.
Thank you. Are there any objections to the motion to excuse those three absences?
Just as noted as my abstention.
Oh, yes.
Noted.
Yeah, yes. Noting Lawrence's abstention. Hearing none, except for that abstention, the motion passes. Next item on the agenda is identifying timekeepers. We need someone to time people.
I'll do that, Julie.
Thank you, Heather. And someone to time items.
Susan, you want to do it? You want me to do it?
Why don't you do it, Lawrence?
Okay, Susan.
We've had woman, ma'am. Okay, not that matters. Susan, Darlene, you.
Okay, I ain't even going to touch that one. I got nine sisters, so I'm not going to touch that one. All right, so I'll do it tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So the next item on the agenda is agenda approval, which is a five-minute item, and I'm going to proceed then to read the rest of the agenda, which is somewhat short for this evening. Item number three is approved minutes, and it's a five-minute item, but I'm afraid there probably aren't any minutes to approve. Item number four is an ED report and Q&A, and that's a 15-minute item. Item five is a general counsel report and Q&A, and that's a 10-minute item, although I'm not sure that Arthur is here or will be here to report anything. Item number six is unfinished business, listed as a 30-minute item. There were four motions carried over from the previous meeting. We had some other motions that we didn't get to in the previous meeting. Those were motions from the Elections Committee, but my notes showed that we decided to postpone those to the October meeting. But these other motions, I don't think we actually decided that they would go wait till the October meeting. And so those were listed there as unfinished business. And then we have new business, which I listed at 1 minute, not entirely sure why. And item eight would be adjourned to the closed session and in principle at a time certain of 9:30, though we got a little bit of a late start, so it might be later than 9:30. So anyway, is there a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Thank you, Susan.
Second.
Thank you, Mark.
And I would also like to offer, Madam Chair, an amendment.
Sure.
I would like to remove my to the motions about programming that I offered previously, and I consulted with Mr. Tatum. I think that the appropriate way to do it is to amend the agenda, because I believe that Jim Dingman's motion essentially accomplishes the same or works towards the same goal. So I have moved to remove, to delete two of my motions pertaining to programming, WBAI and all that sort of thing, from the agenda.
So those would be, if I understand correctly, that would be removing what's currently listed in the appendix 6A and 6B.
I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cause 6C is the motion from Jim Dingman.
Exactly.
Okay. Is there a second to Susan's motion?
Lawrence for a second. And
thank
then
you.
I also have a request for information.
After sure. The vote. Go ahead with your request for information.
Well, I think you have to take a vote on the motion, Chair.
Oh, I see. It's not related to the.
No, it's not.
Okay, got it. Fair enough. Then is there any other, is there any discussion of Susan's, amendment to the agenda?
Gesundheit.
Or is it dog barking? I'm not sure.
That's all the discussion you're gonna get.
Is that a friendly amendment?
No, I think a meow, Allie, will be a friendly amendment.
I'm not hearing any substantive discussion of the amendment to the agenda. So now I will ask you, are there any objections to the motion to amend the agenda? Hearing none, the agenda is amended to remove 6A and 6B.
Can I have my request, Chair?
Yes, you may have your request for information.
Thank you. So I presented a motion quite some time, and according to this agenda, is stuck in the very bottom, and other motions that have not been ahead of this motion prioritized onto the top. So what I'd like to do is the following, Chair, and I'd like to see if this will be in order. My motion on Article 7, Local Station Boards, Section 2, Composition of Local Station Boards. If I could request from the KPFT LSV directors that the person that is not seating the chair, the seat to the runner-up, which is Rodrigo Bravo, if he would to step down and allow Rodrigo Bravo, according to the bylaws, to be seated, then I will move to take this off the agenda and not move it up as it should be. So that's my request, Chair. And I don't know if that's a reasonable request. I don't know if Mr. Tatum will have anything to say about this, but I think the spirit of the bylaws does ask us to follow those bylaws. And if the person that is preventing, who has become the IGM and who is preventing Rodrigo Bravo from rightfully taking his seat, because the Nets runner-up, he's the Nets runner-up, if he could do that by the end of tonight, if the directors could request that he do that, then I will step down in regards to motivating this motion.
Thank you, Lawrence. I'm not entirely sure how to handle this. I mean, do the KPFT directors want to respond in any way?
I will not make that request.
And I will not make that request. Mary Ann, you're the only person left since Egberto's not here. And I believe it was *9 to unmute yourself. Did I get that right?
Well, *6 to unmute, *9 to raise your hand.
Got it.
Let me just suggest that if two of the four directors declined to make that request, I think it would be at least challengeable if only one is making the request.
Mary Ann, did you want to speak?
Can I hear what, I'm sorry, I was,
It's okay. It's quite all right.
Chair, I did that in the spirit of collaboration and cooperation, and also, in the spirit of, being able to move on to the agenda, because it is, as far as I'm concerned, this is a slam dunk procedurally. And if one director objects, that's enough for me. I see that two of them have, and so I wouldn't want to even put Mary in that position.
Okay,
so
fair enough.
I'll leave it to the body. Thank you.
Okay, so I just want to note, that it appears that Evelia has joined the meeting, so, if you could make note of that, Mary Ann Adine.
Welcome.
Thank you.
You betcha.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Susan.
I would like to move that Lawrence's motion be first up for unfinished business.
Okay, hang on one second. First up.
And I appreciate that spirit, Susan, and I will second your motion.
Okay, so that's another motion to amend the agenda, and it's basically flipping the order of the two unfinished business agenda items. So, any objection to this second motion to amend the agenda? Hearing none. We're swapping so that what was 6C goes after 6D. What was 6D? Okay. All right. Moving on. Are there any objections to the now amended agenda? Or any further, wait a minute first. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. Are there any objections to the now fully amended agenda? Hearing none, we continue onward. And I believe I'm correct, Mary Ann, in saying the next item on the agenda was approving minutes, but I believe we don't have any minutes that we sent out to anybody to approve. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, so we'll just keep skipping on there. The next item I had on the agenda was an ED report and Q&A. I think actually it says 15 minutes, Stephanie, but that's probably a holdover from last week, and I just don't know whether there's anything that you would report this week, that is, anything that has transpired that it's important to share with, the directors and or the listening public.
No, I'll be very quick. The motions that were passed last week regarding the reduction in staffing hours at two divisions is being implemented. We also have, the trainings are continuing between our CFO and the national business manager. So they're making a lot of progress with that. And both the national business manager and myself are also continuing with meetings and trainings with our health benefit providers so we can get up to speed with that. The archives is currently producing two new premiums, which will be used for fund drives as well, fund drive that they're going to be doing themselves, and then also hopefully for a national fund drive or at least also for use with the different stations. And there's also specific premiums that are being produced right now for two of the stations based upon their audiences and requests of what they needed. And we have a meeting arranged also with the archives that was formed with the assistance of a former Los Angeles council member with a large Los Angeles-based foundation to discuss funding in digitizing the archives and trying to move forward with that very large project. So that's all I have to report. If anybody has any questions.
Great. Thanks, Stephanie, for that report. I see Heather's hand. Heather?
Yes, thank you. So, Julie, thank you so much. Or Stephanie, I'm sorry. Thank you so much for that report. I just wanted to know, how can we get information about what the archives is wanting to, offer as premiums or whatever?
You could talk directly to the archives director if you want.
Okay.
And I can send you that information. I know that we've gone through kind of a list of things that other people have suggested that we cover. There's what he's making specifically for KPFT is based upon discussions that he has had with the folks over there, just based upon what their audience would like. And so he's been working with them directly with that. And then we've also received different ideas regarding women's reproductive rights and different things that might be happening in the news. And he's been taking those suggestions from people. So if you want to contact him directly, you can, or make sure you CC me on it as well so I can make sure to follow up if he doesn't respond in a timely manner.
So I guess another question along this line, are you calling them premiums? Is that what you call them?
Correct.
Premiums. So this is something that the affiliate stations could also do as well, right?
Yes.
Is that correct?
No, I don't think so. It's that's your job. That's their job. So not their job meaning the affiliates, but that's what we want to be able to use the archives for. I'd love to be able to move into a world where we are offering premiums that are of our own content and our own logoed items rather than having to purchase items from elsewhere.
Exactly. So I'm going to explore this also for the affiliates.
Perfect.
So thank you. Thank you. Okay, mm-hmm. Good. Thanks.
Thanks, Heather. I have Lawrence and then Jim Dingman. Lawrence?
Yeah, thank you. And I definitely would like for us to be more reliant, not dependent, but reliant, on the archives much more and, reduce the amount of money we spend on purchasing premiums. That is a no-brainer. But you were saying something about, a councilman or council person that we're gonna, what bucket and what council person, and if you don't want to disclose that, that's cool. But what buckets are we looking? Are we looking at community block grants or discretionary funds from the councilman's office or councilwoman's office?
It's a former councilwoman's office who now runs her own foundation. And so she's been quite interested in the project that the archives has been discussing for quite some time, which is providing our materials to LAUSD and in their curriculum. And so we've been discussing with her and Mark has met with her in person a couple of times already. And then she's reached out to the California Community Foundation and is putting us in contact with one of the program managers there. And so they already have a deck that was created about the archives. And what we're really promoting is the nice coalition between, or no, the nice collaboration between what we're providing, its historical significance, and how that needs to be used to help educate the youth through LAUSD. And then we also get paid per classroom at LAUSD. And I know that that's been something that's been discussed for a while with the archives, but now we're just kind of, I'm helping with that process and speeding it along.
Thank you, Stephanie. And just one last thing, Chair. I have an idea that I'd like to run by you, and it's to broker a meeting with the local that I belong to, which is over 125,000 strong. So I'd like to broker a meeting with you and my president. I serve as an executive board member, so I'd definitely like to do that because I think we could leverage, we could have a mutual interest in being able to support each other. Thank you.
Perfect.
Thanks. Jim Dingman, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Stephanie. I just want to put an idea out that I don't necessarily want to get into a big debate about this week, but I'd like to see us form either next week or the week after, a group of people to begin dealing with a CTV issue one way or the other. You know, because I know it has all these problems, but I'd like us to give it a college shot, and we have plenty of months to do it. And also, I understand that Mark is feeling under the weather. I'm sure all of us want to, you know, wish him well. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, I would appreciate a group that would be able to help with the CPB, because there are many more people on this phone call and involved in Pacifica that have a rich history of the organization and have, you know, can help me out with that rather than sort of starting it all from scratch. And Mark is feeling better. Thank you.
Great. Any other questions for Stephanie? All right, we are moving along here. Arthur has not joined us, that's correct. Then it would appear that we are going to be skipping the general counsel report and Q&A. So that brings us to the unfinished business item, which were the two motions. And so the first one is Lawrence's motion. Lawrence, go ahead.
Okay, since I'm multitasking, so I can go on the screen of my computer, what is the time on this unfinished business item?
Oh, I believe I set it at 30 minutes.
30 minutes, okay.
And that's for both motions, so.
Okay, so may I request that Marianne read the motion, my submitted motion, and then I would ask to briefly speak for it.
Okay.
It's very long.
If you could just read the essential whereas clauses, Marianne, or to the resolve clauses, and not so much the whereas clauses, and then I will quote the bylaw section and read that section.
Okay, let's start. Let me scroll back up to, there it is. Okay, motion to resolve the KPFT-LSB composition disputes from Lawrence Reyes. Whereas it has come to the attention of the PNB that there are disputes within the
KPFT. Point of order?
Yes.
He suggested that you read the resolves, not all the whereases.
Oh, I misunderstood.
Go straight to the resolve.
Good deal. Will do. Okay, therefore, the PNB has determined a resolution to the three disputes and declares per Article 4, Section 10 of the bylaws that by virtue of the Cassandra Thibodeau resignation as a KPFT listener delegate, Sister Mama Sonia was seated for the term ending December 2024 and her, quote, unseating, unquote, on January 18, 2022 is null and void, and that Sister Mama Sonia was entitled to vote in the PNB director's election, which closed on January 19, 2022, and that the vacancy created by the resignation of Paula Miller should have been and shall be filled by the next highest ranked candidate on the KPFT listener runner-up list from the last delegate election, 2021, and further, that by virtue of Sandy Weinman becoming the KPFT IGM, he resigned his staff delegate seat and occupies the non-voting general manager's seat on the KPFT LSB, and the staff delegate seat Sandy Weinman has vacated shall be filled by the highest ranked candidate on the KPFT staff runner-up list from the last delegate election, 2021, namely Rodrigo Bravo Jr., and that upon the passage of this motion, the three delegate changes as described in the motion shall be immediately implemented and the correct delegate seated on the KPFT LSB. And within 30 days of the passage of this motion, the 2022 PNB director's election by the KPFT delegates shall be redone. Even the short part is long.
Yeah, but you didn't, it would have been much longer. So.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. So, this is a question of following the validity of the bylaws. And I would suggest to the directors that you also read the whereas clauses, because it provides supporting documentation. I did consult with the parliamentarian, and I agreed that to read the whereas clauses and to go into all the minutiae of all the whereas clauses would support the resolve clauses of the resolution that's in front of you. So I ask you to read those if you haven't already. It's been out there for quite some time. So I ask you to do that, and I ask you to send a message to Mr. Wyman, who is now the interim general manager at KPFT, pro bono, and my gratitude for him stepping up and doing the job pro bono goes without question, because of the financial status that we're in, and also because he does have a skill set. But this is notwithstanding that he does not act as a placeholder for when he becomes hired, or if someone else becomes hired in a pay position. He is to step down immediately and resume his position as a non-voting member, as an IGM, which is akin to being a general manager who sits on the LSVs. The LSVs composed of 25 members, one ex officio member who is a non-voting member. And that would be the GM. So I ask you to send that message to Mr. Wyman and to the KPFT LSV that we do follow the bylaws and that we have a set of rules, and the next highest runner up was Rodrigo Bravo, and he is entitled, yes, I say entitled, to be seated immediately because of Mr. Wyman accepting the IGM position, and now he becomes an ex officio non-voting member of the 25-person body. So I ask you to support this motion and to send a very friendly and clear message that we are not just about talking about following bylaws when it's convenient, that we are about being consistent in regards to following the bylaws when it's not convenient for an individual's interest. So with that, I submit the motion, and I ask for your thoughtful consideration. Thank you, Chair. And I think I'd like to request a second.
Yes. Is there a second to Lawrence's motion?
I'll second it. We can move on.
Who was that?
That was James McFadden. Discussion from others on this motion?
I'll speak.
Hang on, Teresa. I saw Jim Dingman's hand first, then you, Teresa. Go ahead, Dingman.
Well, what happened with Summer Reese when she was made the IED? What happened with Grace Aaron when she was made the IED? Did they surrender their positions on the boards? Did Lydia Brazon surrender her position on the board?
Chair, I have a point of order.
Okay, I know, but I just want to clarify what happened in the past with these people.
My point of order, Chair.
Go ahead, Lawrence.
My point of order is that this is not in order at all, because we're talking about LSV composition. We are not talking about the PNB composition. And if someone was to be chair, or someone was to be a director, and as you occupy the chair position, Chair, if we were in absence of a director, of an executive director, then you would ascend, but you would still remain the chair of the board. That it's two separate different things, Mr. Dingman.
I have a point of order.
Okay, do I have to help me here, Mr. Tatum? Do I have to rule on Lawrence's point of order before I can hear Teresa's point of order?
Exactly.
Shoot. I'm kidding.
Well, my point of order is that Lawrence...
Oh, hang on, Teresa. I didn't recognize you, because Mr. Tatum said that I had to rule on Lawrence's first. So I've just been looking for it, but I can't find it right now. But I did a little bit of research on this item myself. And I do think, that it is not exactly, it's not dispositive to say that, this dispositive, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, stop. I'll just say it the way I would. Okay. What I think is that, even though, yes, technically speaking, chair of the board and a vacant ED position, it's clear from my bylaws what happens. And that is, and we don't have the same kind of situation set up for LSBs and GMs, LSB chairs and GMs set up in our bylaws. The mere fact that that the positions are different doesn't in and of itself to me suggest that, that this is different, right? That it is still someone occupying an interim seat, right? So, and so I think that the points that Jim Dingman was raising, you know, are worthy discussion for this item. So, and not out of order. Did I do that right, Mr. Tatum?
You did.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Well, then may I continue?
Yes, you may continue.
All right. Are there examples of this occurring with interim general managers who happen to have been chairs or members of LSBs in the past? Does anybody know? Because I'm well aware of those other examples, but I'm not aware of this kind of situation. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, I could attempt to address that, but I don't want to jump ahead of Susan.
Well, actually, after Jim Dingman came Teresa, then Susan. But I'm going to allow Lawrence to answer the question because it's on the floor. So go ahead, Lawrence. Go ahead, Jim Sagerty.
Yeah, I'm just curious myself. Teresa was raising a point of order. I don't know if the resolution of Lawrence's point of order satisfied her, but she was trying to raise one also.
You are correct. Thank you. I'm sorry. So I'm going to pause there for a moment. And Teresa, do you still have a point of order?
I just agreed with you, Julia. I thought that his point of order was inappropriate. I think that Jim Dingman had a good point, and it's not that what happened on the PNB could not be applied to the local situation, local board situation.
Thank you. So then go ahead, Lawrence, with answering the question that Jim Dingman raised.
Thank you. Is that okay with you, Susan? Okay, thank you. So Jim, I think in this case, the anomaly speaks clearly to what's in the section of the bylaws in regards to LSB compositions. That anomaly, and the example that you provided, I believe does not apply, to the situation at hand. The fact that the anomaly arises because I don't think any of us have an example of that, but we do have examples of those people who, for some event, see their seat, whether they're going to run for office or whether, as Bill Crozier did, I consider it to be, you forgot to throw in Bill Crozier, when he was the chair, and became the ED. So this example, the anomaly of the examples allows the bylaws to insert itself, to say that since there is no example, the fidelity of the bylaws has to be that whoever, creates an event where they lose, the opportunity to serve on an LSB, and in this case, someone ascends to the IGM position, which is akin to a general manager, it automatically disqualifies himself from being on the local station board. As a voting member, he's still on the local station board as the 25th voting, as a 25th member with non-voting privileges. So that's why I think, Jim, and I don't know what you think about that, but the anomaly, I believe, speaks clearly to us being able to insert the section of the bylaws on LSP compositions. Thank you.
So Teresa's up and then it's Susan? Because I assume that Teresa had, before she raised her point of order, had a question.
Yes, I have a couple of, I don't have a question at this point. I have a point to make. In the whereases, Lawrence Reyes brought up the situation of Crescenta Thibodeau, and there is a lot that the PNB does not understand because they have not, they did not hear the, executive session, which was quite extensive and quite compelling as to, why she should retain her seat. And it's being used as some sort of reason why we should consider, Sandy Weinman as a reason for him to be removed. We have a lot of people in the last year who've been very involved, meddling, if you want to use the term, in other people LSB. We have people from New York and people from LA that and unidentified people that come to our public comment, and they kind of are very, very opinionated about how we conduct our business. We have people that have run for the LSB and WBAI that come to our public comment and say, well, I'm a member here, and they probably are a member here. We have people that are encouraging our LSB members to be members of the Finance Committee and WBAI. I think at some point we need to be allowed to conduct our business. And I think that what we're doing
time
here is perfectly legitimate, and I think that Sandy deserves the right, if he steps down at any point, to keep his position on the board. And as long as he is not, as long as he recuses himself in places where he needs to, I think it's a legitimate point for him to keep the position that he had on the board. And I thank him for his service, which is must be like living hell.
Your time is up. Thanks, Teresa. Susan, then Lawrence, then Darlene. Susan?
Yes, I guess I have 3 points to make. The first is that, yes, among all the whereases as of revisiting the whole Crescenta Thibodeau, Sister Mama Sonia stuff, which was decided in the January meeting of the PNB and was decided against, the decision made by the local station board was affirmed. So that, all of that is not pertinent to this conversation. The second thing is I would echo what Teresa is saying, and I would wish that all PNB directors would spend as much time trying to work on and heal their own stations as insert themselves in decisions for other stations. And then the third thing is regarding Sandy. A critical element is that this is interim, and the bylaws address GM, but not interim GM. And the reason why we wish for Sandy, or he has agreed to stay on as a voting member, he was elected, and I believe he was the top elected among the staff representatives. It is our goal to raise money promptly and be able to return to having a professional paid GM. And he should not relinquish his position as a voting member of the LSB when the position he has taken on is IGM. And finally,
Susan, your time is up.
If I may.
I'd like to hear a final thought.
Quickly.
The points that Dingman raised about IEDs and so forth serving, the reason why everybody stands up and says this is bad is that management should not serve in a governance position. Well, we have ample precedents that that is something that a standard that we do not hold to.
Thanks. Lawrence, then Darlene. Lawrence?
Thank you. And Susan makes my point. Mr. Weinman continues to not recluse himself for anything, Teresa. He continues to be on committees. He continues to vote at the LSB. And this is after he has disqualified himself as an LSB member and is refusing to enfranchise. And I know every station has its problems, but it seems like Houston has a problem with enfranchising those people who are underrepresented. And we have a young man, Rodrigo Bravo, very bright, very intelligent, very articulate, that is in the waiting, and he is the next runner up. And then to make the point that he should not relinquish his position, because the reason why he's not stepping down, because some of them are telling him, just hang in there, because you'll become eventually a permanent GM. You said it. I did not say that, Lawrence.
Well, That's not what I said.
Let me tell you, please do not interrupt me. I did not interrupt you. So let me just say that what you said was that, that he should not relinquish his chair and his vote. And Teresa said that he should recluse himself in certain votes. Well, the fact is that he continues to serve on committees. He continues to serve on the other three, continues to vote. And so the other way I ask clauses, you need to read, the case, that was mentioned in regards to the case, KPFA, that was decided by a lawyer, by a judge in this case. So, you know, you can't have it both ways. You can't say, all right, so just hang in there, hold on to the seat. We'll keep you there as a placeholder to be able to make a more permanent decision. That's not in the spirit of the bylaws at all. Rodrigo Bravo is entitled. Thank you. Rodrigo Bravo is entitled, and I'll say entitled. He is entitled to be ascended to the LSB and sit on the others on the KPFT LSB. So I would ask, principally that you follow the bylaws and that Mr. Wyman step down as he disqualified himself already. Thank you.
Darlene, then Susan, then James McFadden. Darlene?
I think I may be just polishing a little of what Susan Young said, but in my thinking about this, this is a punishment for going the distance and then some to become the interim general manager for no pay at the Texas station. And in that spirit of penalizing those who step up, it does shortchange to take him off the voting in the PMB to be an LSB member. It shortchanges all the votes from listeners who preferred this candidate. So, the GM is a non-voting member of the LSB. It will not change any, it doesn't change a vote to leave the GM position on the LSB open. You can leave it open. It makes no difference. I mean, to do this to somebody, who's doing the work, to come in and make that puff about to the Texas station about somebody who is doing what was asked of him.
Darlene, time is up.
Thank you. Is wrong.
Thanks, Darlene. Susan and James McFadden. Susan?
Yeah, just quickly. Apparently I gave a misimpression. We are not anticipating that Sandy will become the permanent GM. We are anticipating that when we can afford it, the LSV will launch a search look for a GM. If Sandy put his name in, he would immediately be required to remove himself from the board, and he would have nothing to do with the GM selection. As it is, he participates in committees, both because he's a critical voting member the top vote getter for the staff on the LSB, and because he is a GM who is the IGM, who is ex officio part of committees, and he is responding to the committees with their questions. He is doing double duty. Sorry if I was not clear.
Chad, we got 14 minutes and 29 seconds left on this agenda item.
Got it. James McFadden and Jim Dingman.
I'm trying to listen to this, and what I'm hearing again in the against this motion is lots of shoulds. You know, it's not fair. It's he got a top vote getter, and it's punishment. And these are all kind of judgments, but no reference to what the bylaws actually say. So, I mean, I feel sorry when somebody loses in some event, you know, and when I don't think it was fair and stuff. But if it's supposed to be going by the bylaws, by the book, which I think we're supposed to be done, then I think there's a problem with someone trying to hold a management position and holding the oversight over that. I mean, I'd have a real problem if in Berkeley, if the mayor, the city manager resigned and the mayor became the city manager. I mean, he's already there in cahoots, but if he's held both of those positions, I'd be really upset about it. You really don't want to have somebody, you find somebody else. And you know, the person didn't have to take the IGM position. I think it's great that they did.
Whoa.
But there's some losses that come along with something like that, and you just have to, have to make a decision whether it's, you know, you're doing the best thing in doing that. It doesn't have anything to do with fairness. So what I'd like to hear from the no on this side is what bylaws you can quote that say this person can do this. And I think that Lawrence has sort of,
your time is up.
Has said, I'll just finish here. I think Lawrence has quoted a number that suggests this is not okay.
I put my hand up because I might wind up answering the question that James McFadden just asked, but Jim Dingman had his hand up first. Go ahead, Jim.
Well, I'll be very brief. I don't recall any of these kind of debates coming into the fore when Grace, Summer, and Lydia were in these positions and they retained their LSB positions. So I find it, it's obviously a glitch, but those were positions with far more responsibility than just being a general manager locally. So I have to sort of say that this is just a faction fight, and I'd rather not be burdened with it. Thank you.
Thanks. So I did a little looking into this, and I spoke with Mr. Tatum, the parliamentarian, about this, or perhaps we exchanged emails. I don't remember at this point, but at any rate, so a couple of points that I think are fair and accurate. And the first is our bylaws are actually completely silent regarding interim general managers, right? There is some stuff in our bylaws about, you know, what happens if you need an interim executive director, but our bylaws are silent regarding interim general managers. Okay, so that's the first fact. So we can't look to the bylaws exactly. The second is that our bylaws are in fact clear about a handful of situations. Maybe I don't have the number quite right, but a bunch of situations where it's not possible to hold two positions in Pacifica at the same time. You can't be, here's some examples. You can't be the national election supervisor in any other position in Pacifica. You can't be the PNB secretary or the CFO and any other position. You can't be a delegate and a candidate for public office or a political appointee at the same time. So those are some examples of what you can't do in terms of holding two kinds of positions at the same time. And out of the things that I just named, none of those have anything to do.
You muted yourself.
I see that because my computer started telling me that, and I might have said a curse word, which was all right because I was muted. So I think where I was maybe when I apparently touched something and muted myself was I think what I was saying was, you know, none of the things that I just listed off as positions that you can't simultaneously hold, none of them had anything to do with being an interim general manager and an LSV delegate at the same time. That's not specifically in our bylaws. And this was the part that I all figured out by reading the bylaws myself. The part where I needed John Tatum's help was in regards to Robert's rules, and it's section 46, paragraph 31, item 1 that says people are eligible to hold two positions unless the bylaws specifically prohibit it. And so that's a Robert's rules point. And so, you know, so I think the point there is that, you know, we say follow our bylaws, and then we also say in our bylaws and, you know, where things are unclear, you know, we follow Robert's rules. And to me, the logic of, you know, those three facts that I just laid out is that our bylaws don't tell us that this is specifically, not allowed. You know, and Sandy, you know, and I checked into this too. Sandy Wyman is a staff delegate, not a listener delegate, right? So that would have been presented a problem had Sandy been a listener delegate, but then, you know, acting in a staff position, right? So, but that's not an issue. You know, the other thing is, I believe, Sandy was, elected in 2019. And so Sandy's, delegate term would end at the end of, this year anyway. So this is a temporary problem, you know, kind of at best. And then I go back to the point that, you know, maybe why are our bylaws silent about IGMs? And it's probably that we didn't anticipate having, people in interim positions, you know, just as a general proposition. And also that, you know, the whole point of being an interim is that it really is just a temporary situation. And so, you know, those were just a couple of things that I figured out by looking at the bylaws. And I see that, Lawrence has his hand up and so does Teresa. So Lawrence.
Thank you. I respectfully disagree with your, narrative, Chair. In regards to, one thing is clear, that if somebody resigns their seat and if somebody all of a sudden has an opportunity to serve two positions in one, then there is an obvious conflict. And the fact is that Mr. Wyman has not shown any kind of impartiality. He has been completely partial. He has been voting on the KPFT LSV Finance Committee. He has been voting at the KPFT LSV meetings. He is denying and disenfranchising. That's one of the things I think in your narrative you don't remember, Chair, is that there's somebody that ascends naturally into this position as the LSV chair. And the two things that you do mention is the fact is that he doesn't get to serve as IGM and as the LSV member at the same time. You know, the bylaws may be silent. I think it's ambiguous. I think the anomaly of the whole situation speaks to the insertion of this session in the bylaws. And that's something, and the articles of incorporation as in regards to the case of the KPFA that I provided in the whereas and the judge ruled, in that case. That's something that also needs to be considered. So I ask again that by in principle that Sandy Wyman resign as an LSV member and continue to be an ex officio non-voting member, the 25th member with no vote on the LSV, and that Rodrigo Bravo, the appropriate person that needs to be enfranchised and that his rights need to be respected.
I hear Jim. The time is up.
Okay, I hear Jim Diggerman mentioning all of these other crazy scenarios that he has been mentioning in regards to the factional fight. But I don't hear him mentioning Bill Crozier, who was in charge of a faction and also, you know, remained both as an IED and the chair of this board at one time. So
time.
Again,
yeah.
Darlene, keep your, you know, you don't, you're not the chair. You're not the chair. So please, hold on to your knickers.
Let's try and, you know.
Then you know what?
Keep the temperature down. Right.
Let me apologize. That was completely inappropriate to say. I apologize.
Thank you, Lawrence. Appreciate that. I have Teresa, then John Tatum, then Jim Dingman. Teresa?
You know, when I was not on the board, I continued working on committees. And I was just as active on the committees, when I was not on the board as when I was. And, Roberto Bravo has started to do some very good work with Sandy, actually. And I think that's just wonderful. But I just don't see why this body has to try to force, this situation. And I think that your principles, Lawrence, aren't necessarily facts. And the fact of the matter is the bylaws are silent on the matter of interim. And I think that's to try to force this issue is just wrong. Thank you.
Mr. Tatum.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say that, you know, we got a situation here where ever since I joined Pacifica, I knew that the bylaws were in very, very bad shape. As a matter of fact, I tried to get the governance committee to hire a company to take care of the situation, but the Pacifica bylaws are confusing some places, and they conflict in the bylaws, et cetera, et cetera. So here we have a case where the bylaws aren't clear about something, and Robert's rule says that you look to the bylaws to straighten out this situation. Before I forget, I wanted to just say that as far as debate is concerned, Robert says that you can debate twice on an issue. A third time on an issue is by permission of the assembly, but four and five times on the same debate is unusually wrong, and it causes the meeting to be long. But back to the point. So now we're at a point now where this board, the PMB, has to make a decision because Roberts said look to the bylaws, and then you look to the bylaws and the bylaws are ambiguous. So here we come to a situation where this PMB has to make a decision one way or the other, and whichever way this PMB makes a decision, it will stand until the decision is reversed or repealed, annulled, or done away with sometime in the future. But we're at the point where the board now has to make a decision one way or the other.
This is James with an inquiry.
Yes, go ahead, James Segerman.
Mr. Tatum, if a future board would want to overrule whichever way this comes out at this point, would it take just a majority vote, or would it be an extra majority vote?
It would be a majority vote.
Thank you.
Vanessa, point of information, please.
Yes, go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so when I was listening to you earlier, sort of give a summary of the bylaws, the understanding I got from it was that a person cannot hold two positions at once, which at least to me appears to apply to this situation, the IGM also on the LSB. So did I understand, I hear the parliamentarian saying it's, you know, not clear, but I thought your description, at least to me, sounded pretty clear that the bylaws prohibits that. So I'm just trying to get an understanding of what's correct.
No, that's a great question, Vanessa. So there are, our bylaws are clear about certain specific instances in which you cannot be two things at the same time. Like, you can't be the national election supervisor and anything else in Pacifica, right? So there's a couple of instances where the bylaws specifically state two positions that you can't hold. But of course, it doesn't cover every possible outcome in the world, right? And one of the situations that's not included in our bylaws at all is anything to do with being an interim GM, because in fact our bylaws are completely silent about being an interim GM. So that's the sense in which I completely agree with Mr. Tatum that we have to decide, you know, what the answer is here. I mean, we have to decide because there's a motion on the floor, but basically whether there was a motion on the floor or not, you know, inevitably this situation was going to have come up at some point along the line, right? And, you know, to Mr. Tatum's point, because our bylaws are somewhat unclear. So,
another point of information, Chair, sure. Please. Okay. May I direct an inquiry to Lawrence?
Sure.
Okay. Lawrence.
Well, you asked me and then I asked Lawrence to respond. Cool. I think that's how we do it.
I can do that. All right. So my question is, what evidence is he presenting that is a conflict, that is, this is a violation of the bylaws?
Lawrence, would you like to respond to that in terms of?
Well, I think Vanessa, you actually crystallized something, is that Mr. Wyman is holding two positions in one. And that is precisely my argument, for him to step down, is that he is holding two positions in one. On one hand, he is an IGM. He is voting on committees. He is voting, as an LSP member. So that's, and then he is IGM. So that's two positions in one. The evidence that I'm presenting, Vanessa, and I think I'm hopefully, crystal clear about it, is that, the bylaws, this section of the bylaws, although, the anomaly has been exemplified, throughout, I think the anomaly itself speaks clearly for what Mr. Tatum informed us to do, is that we have to make a decision to correct this wrong, because this is a wrong.
I see Jim Dingman, then Jim Sagerton's hand. Jim Dingman.
Yeah, it's obviously a glitch. But again, I go back to those examples I raised, and, you know, Lawrence raised the issue of Bill Crozier. I recall in the case of Summer, in the case of Eric Grace, in the case of Liddy, I just don't recall any of this going on with them. And so, you know, maybe it has to be revisited down the road here to straighten it out, but those are far more serious positions, and nobody was sitting there. They're objecting to their decisions, obviously, and I remember that vividly. But they held LSB positions, the chair and all that, and so I just find this, you know, we just had a situation because of the financial situation in that station turn out the way it was. The same way these IEDs came into the picture because of internal disputes and problems. So it's just a lower level manifestation of the same kind of problems we've seen occur over the past 15 years. I don't see why someone should be penalized. I do not doubt Mr. Bravo's competence. But at the same time, I want a little consistency here and not, you know, cherry picking.
We are 2 minutes.
Okay. Hang on 1 second. Jim Sagerton, hasn't spoken and is on the stack. Go ahead, Jim.
This is in the nature of a parliamentary inquiry.
You may, but, and then I'll hear Vanessa's point of information. Go ahead, Jim Sagerton.
Thank you. So I wanted to ask Mr. Tatum, and I don't know the answer here myself, or I wouldn't need to ask. When courts look at things involved that are similar to this, there's a general rule of statutory interpretation, which interprets constitutions or statutes, or in this case, bylaws, where if something is specifically enumerated as something that you can do, then if something else is not specifically enumerated as such, then you need to make special provision for that to happen. And if there is something that is specifically prohibited from being done, then you can't do that, but you can do other things that aren't specifically prohibited as long as they're not specifically prohibited. So this is along the lines of what Julie was, I think, in her research was leading to. Is, and so my question to you is, under Robert's rules or under, as far as you know, under court interpretations of these kinds of things, does that rule of statutory interpretation that applies generally in law, is that applicable in this situation?
Would you like to respond, Mr. Tatum?
Yes. In the case of parliamentary rules, it does apply, and you quoted that exactly right about things being general and things being specific. And I won't speak to the statutory language, but I know in parliamentary language, yes, that is true. I would also just like to add that to Jim Dingman's point, anything that was done in the past, right or wrong, once this board makes a new ruling, then the new ruling takes effect and the old one goes out the window, whatever it did, whatever names you come up with, Jim Crozer or whoever did whatever in the past, you make a ruling now, it becomes the new rule. I hope I answered your question.
You did. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. It seems to me that we have kind of tracked ourselves into...
Chair, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Vanessa, go ahead.
Call the question.
Yeah, I'm recognizing Vanessa, who had a point of information. Yep. Go ahead, Vanessa.
Thank you very much. I have an inquiry, Chair, that I'd like for you to ask Jim Dingman to refer to respond to. Jim referenced some situations in which people seem to be serving in two capacities. I'm not familiar with that. Maybe he said it before, and I just didn't hear it clearly. Could he give just a bit more detail in terms of who those people were and what were the dual positions they were serving in?
They're actually...
Madam Chair, I can respond to that.
Point of order, that was to Jim. I believe that's what I heard.
Then it has to go to the chair.
Yeah. The questions have to come to me. I believe Vanessa was asking a parliamentary question. So, Mr. Tatum?
No, I was asking a specific question about what Jim Dingman said. I didn't hear anyone else make that point.
Sorry. Go ahead, Jim Dingman. Would you like to respond?
Well, when we had situations where Grace Aaron retained her LSB position, I think she was the chair, and then became the IED, that was a situation where, she became the interim executive director, had several hats. I believe someone can correct me if that same situation happened with Lydia. I don't know if it happened with Dan Siegel in the past, but I know that... it happened with several people. Summer Reese is another example of this. And, maybe it's wise to sort of, go through those examples and try to figure out, maybe they can give us some idea about how to proceed with this little problem in the future, because we may have this problem now occurring because of the fiscal crisis in ways we didn't anticipate. But it was my understanding that, again, there was a lot of controversy with those folks, but I don't recall this kind of thing happening where they were questioned as to should they be on the LSBs, the board, and be in the IED position. The opposition was on their policies, and then one, it has to be clarified. Others were around when that happened. They might have a better recollection of it, but that's my recollection.
Chair, follow-up
point
of information. So the question for Jim is he saying
that because it happened in the past, right or wrong, that's a determination to be made, right or wrong, that it therefore now should not be questioned currently?
I think that since it did happen in the past, and I don't remember it being disputed in this particular fashion, and it happened several times, I'm just wondering, okay, whether the particular situation of this happening that it's being disputed when it wasn't disputed in the past, the same, in the same fashion, that the person should not be on the LSB and then have the, IED position at the same time. I mean, no one, I don't remember that one coming up at all, frankly. So that's why I find this a little contradictory to listen to this.
So you believe it established a precedent?
Yeah, I certainly do, but I obviously.
Parliamentary inquiry, Chair.
Yeah, hang on. I'm trying to, I've got to wrest control back of this meeting here.
I have a point of order. Many people have spoken ad nauseum on this item.
Yes.
I see Bev Van Gutten has her hand up, and I'd like you to recognize her.
Oh, I'm sorry. That obviously just happened, before I, tried to wrest control of this meeting back. So,
and we are 1 minute.
We are over time. Yeah, hang on, everybody. Hold on. We are over time. There was a second motion that we had to deal with that was part of this. We're late to get to the closed session. And then I also heard, a call to question, and I recognized Vanessa's point of information before we called the question. So I think there's a lot going on here. So, I see there's hands. Teresa's already spoken a couple times. Lawrence has already spoken a couple of times.
Madam Chair, I would like,
hang on, I'm just talking. Let me finish. Please. I mean, if someone else wants to be chair, for God's sakes, I would let you do it in a heartbeat. Hang on. Jim Snaggerton, spoke once. But only once. And Beth Van Gutten hasn't spoken at all. And frankly, my inclination is to let, Jim Snaggerton and Beth speak because they haven't spoken very many times. But really, I want to go to a vote on this. So that's my inclination. So I think I'm going to recognize Jim Snaggerton.
Chair, I challenge your ruling because, Jim has spoken ad nauseum. He's made it in another way.
Oh my God.
But
hang on.
Go to that person. But Beth hasn't spoken once. So that's all I'm saying.
All right, I'll do it in the other order. Beth, I recognize you first.
Thank you. Yes, I would say a few points, that what makes it PNB business is that this would set a precedent for the entire network. I'm not clear what has been done in the past, if bylaws have been ignored or set aside or just not noticed, to allow less than best practices to be undertaken, then I think that this is our opportunity to correct that. I place value in what Mr. McFadden said, in identifying that there's an inherent conflict of interest in putting anyone in a position to, in effect, supervise themselves. I think there are reasons that bylaws in general are written with separations of powers, with checks and balances, as a best practice. And I would also point out that, whoever ends up in that seat, it would, in effect, disenfranchise the other party so that leaving the current IGM where he is to occupy both that seat and the seat on the LSB in effect disenfranchises Mr. Bravo and not just Mr. Bravo but also all those who voted for him in the elections that put him in
line. Your time is up.
Thank you.
All right. So, I think we're going to call the question here because, we've got to move on. So I think the way I do this is I now say, are there any objections to Lawrence's motion?
No.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Marion, would you take a roll call vote? And this is a roll call of vote for Lawrence's motion. So yes, yes is in favor of Lawrence's motion, no is opposed.
And Lawrence's motion is number 6D, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, 6D. Teresa Allen.
Allen says no.
Votes no. Jim Bingham.
No.
Votes no. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sue Goodwin. Sue Goodwin. Last shot, Sue Goodwin.
Yes.
Votes yes. Heather Gray.
I'm passing.
Passes. Donna Grimes. Donna?
I'm gonna, yeah, I'm passing right now. Passes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Evelia Jones.
No.
Votes no. Ali Lexa.
No.
Votes no. Marianne Martinez.
No.
Votes no. James McFadden.
Yes.
Votes yes. Darlene Pagano.
No.
Votes no. Lawrence Reyes.
Yes.
Votes yes. Sean Rhodes.
Abstain.
Abstains. James Sagerton.
No.
Votes no. Sharon Salam.
Yes.
Votes yes. Aki Tanaka.
No.
Votes no. Mark van Landuit.
No.
Votes no. Beth van Gunten.
Yes.
Votes yes. Susan Young.
No.
Votes no. Let's see. Heather Gray, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
I'll vote no.
Votes no. Donna Grimes, you passed. How do you choose to vote?
Abstain.
Abstains. Okay. Do we have any that we missed? I don't believe so. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 yes votes. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 no votes. Julie, how do you choose to vote?
I'll abstain.
Okay. 6 yes and 11 no, the motion fails.
All right. So that brings us to,
Chair, this is Lawrence.
Yeah, we were out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time, and I don't want to keep time any further for agenda items.
Okay. Thank you. So two things. Because we're out of time, if we were going to entertain, basically, the only thing remaining on our open session agenda, assuming that nobody brought up new business, the only remaining item was motion 6C, which was from Jim Dingaman.
Arthur is here.
Oh.
Yeah, oh, yes. Arthur, would you, thank you. Arthur, is there any report that you would want to give in open session?
No.
All right, thank you. So then the only thing that's remaining is, Jim Dingman's motion 6C.
We can wait on that, Madam Chair.
We can wait? Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So then,
move to adjourn from open session.
Thank you. Is there a second?
James.
Thank you. Any objections to, motion to adjourn the open session? Hearing none. At 10:12 p.m., we are adjourned.